This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Welcome back to Saturday Magazine. You're here with Paul, Fiona and Matt Wade. We are all sitting in for the Macca and Tass today, who are both on leave. So we would very much like to start our conversation here with Dean Smith, wonderful senator who has been a big part of this whole process. Dean, how are you and welcome back to the show?
Good morning. It's good to be back with you.
How are you feeling today?
How am I feeling? We have this term in politics. It's called campaign flu.
When you're
running the campaign, you are suppress a lot of emotion. You are suppress a lot of sort of bad eating habits, etc. I'm inflicted with campaign flu now that the excitement and the euphoria is finally washing away. But it's good to be home in the West.
Well, the bill that you obviously drafted, which was drafted quite a long time, quite a while ago now, was there ever any doubt that it would not be passed by this year?
It's interesting. I think as reading through some of the media commentary over the last few days, people's minds are now turning to the point, well, of course, this didn't sort of just fall out of the sky on one particular day. There was work being done behind the scenes. And where I've sort of landed on things at the moment is that we've been blessed that every element of the campaign in the broadest sense of the word has been successfully fought. So if we'd had a bill but not a successful yes campaign, we would have got nowhere. If we had a successful yes vote in the survey but had a poorly constructed bill, we wouldn't have got anywhere. If we hadn't have had a Senate Select Committee process that, laboured over hearing evidence from LGBTI community and religious leaders, we would never have got a report which then allowed people like myself and others to go away and frame a bill. And then going right back, dare I say it, right back to the original plebiscite legislation, you might recall that the government released its own exposure draft, so if the plebiscite was upheld and if there was a yes vote, this is the bill that would be used to legislate for marriage. Now, of course, it was that exposure draft that was put before the Senate Select Committee. So there's been many ingredients to the success of this week, and many, many people have played their part. But more than that, everyone has lived up to each and every expectation of them.
Dean, I just think that's a really big point, because I think in today's politics, things get changed and drafted very quickly. And I think one of the real big successes of this bill is that the due diligence and legwork that went in behind the scene to get the drafting to a point where it was so good, it didn't need any amendments. So congratulations to you, because I think that's a mammoth task. And, a lot of work goes on behind the scenes in those committee rooms to try to make sure that every single word that gets put onto that piece of paper is actually thoroughly thought through. So that's a really big task. So well done to you on that.
And you would have heard this in I'm sure the interviews you've done with other sort of members of the LGBTI community. The bill is not to everyone's liking, but that is the ingredients to its success. Had the government produced a bill, then I'm sure the crossbench in the Senate and Labor and the Greens wouldn't have supported it. If Labor and the Greens built a bill, then it wouldn't have been supported by the government in the House. So everyone had to give up a little bit in order to get a final product, which turned out to be a very, very good product, because it withstood the scrutiny and some of the last minute sort of efforts of those staunchly opposed to same-sex marriage. So again, I think people trusted people, and it is a good bill. That will be revealed in coming years, yeah.
It seemed like even over the past couple of weeks, there was quite a lot of optimism, because obviously, as you mentioned, this bill was quite airtight. And in both the House of Representatives and the Senate, obviously there were some members or senators that tried to introduce amendments at the last minute, or at least through this process. Were you worried at all at any point that the amendments might get voted on and it would delay the process, or were you quite sure that, I guess, the amendments would all be voted down?
Well, I mean, in politics, you see lots of people with very, very confident views of themselves and very, very confident views of the world. I don't necessarily think that helps a lot. I think in politics it's important to be a parliamentarian that does have a little bit of self-doubt about the work you're doing or the acceptability of the work, because it's that little bit of self-doubt that allows you to be sensitive to those criticisms that could be legitimate. And there was one issue that was very, very top of mind for me, and that was the issue about charities. Mm-hmm. And you might have seen some media commentary about that over coming months. And it was interesting to me because in the government's own exposure draft released last year, there was nothing about charities. So I thought to myself, well, if there was nothing about charities in the government's own bill, then it must be fine. But then with some excellent advice from Anna Brown and Lee Carney, who did some great work on the bill, and Corey Earlham, we thought, let's go and test that. So we went and got expert advice from the tax commissioner, from the charities commissioner, from other not-for-profit law groups to make sure that we were on strong ground. So that sense of self-doubt is important because it helps you test your own assumptions, and then in the end, that was the right thing to do.
I also think as well there's a great piece of lesson there to try and help other nations. You know, we're quite late in the day going through this process to get marriage equality, but there are several countries out there who are very much behind the curve where we are, and just learning some of that experience about how you went through the political machinations to actually get this bill, you know, through all the various processes and actually presented to the House, I think is a really good lesson to try and take internationally.
I think that's right. And, you know, when we do look at the international experience, it does take cross-party efforts. It does take cross-party efforts. And that might be, that might just be the nature of social reform in any country, that it takes people from across the aisle, so to speak, who have a similar, whose worldview on other issues might be different. But on a particular social issue, a particular cause, they can sort of unite themselves and have common principles. I think there's also something else in this, and I think it is the strength of positive messages. For a long time, we've been taught in this country, you've got to campaign negatively. Well, we saw in the Yes campaign the power of human stories, the power of a positive story. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not that might shape future political discourse.
Well,
it's certainly something we should...
Yeah, good segue there. We're going to ask you, so obviously not everyone in the House necessarily agreed with the votes that were taking place this week. So you've got the four no votes and quite a few abstentions. What's your view on how that was handled?
People might be a bit surprised to hear this. One of the foundational principles for the Liberal Party is that a Liberal parliamentarian should always be free to act on his conscience. And you might recall that I acted on my conscience. I did not support the plebiscite bill when it was put before the Parliament on both occasions. I exercised my conscience and fought hard against the postal survey. I was unsuccessful. I've exercised my conscience on wheat deregulation reform and a couple of other issues in the Parliament. So I actually, if they are Liberal parliamentarians, I actually respect their position, except that.
In modern politics, some you're saying it's right to vote against your electorate?
Some people argue very, very strongly for the postal survey. And I do think that if you campaign strongly for the postal survey, then you have a higher obligation to accept the findings of your electorate in that regard. So that is the one difference, if you like, between that sort of Liberal Party conscience position that I would hold and I would defend for others. But the fact that so many people argue for the postal survey, I would have felt obliged to uphold the outcome of the postal survey in my electorate if that's what I'd argue for so strongly.
So, I mean, those that abstained, do we feel that that is, I mean, is that in some way a success for their abstention as opposed to a straight-out no vote?
It's hard to know. I think you really do have to get into the minds of those individual members themselves, because people come to Parliament with their own causes, with their own perspectives. It's very hard. I do feel a bit uncomfortable making judgment about the decisions of others to oppose or abstain, because they are decisions that are, you know, that are heavily governed by their own worldview or their own personal political view or their electorate issues. So very, very hard to know. But to be fair, there are some people who voted no, you know, some in that group of four. They had strong no outcomes in their electorates. They'd been on the record as saying no for a long time. So on that basis, they are actually acting in a considered and principled way.
Obviously, there have been members of our community who have been advocating for marriage equality for over a decade, and obviously this is an amazing moment for them. What do you think kind of kicked the marriage campaign or the fight for marriage equality into, I guess, overdrive in the past year or so? Was it the drafting of the bill? Was it, I guess, talks of a plebiscite or postal survey? I mean, what do you think really kind of got us to where we are today?
Well, and I've tried to sort of steer clear of the politics, you know, because this is an issue that's worthy, that has its own merits. But I think that when Malcolm Turnbull came to the leadership of the party, people thought, oh, well, OK, well, Malcolm believes in these things, and so perhaps we're going to have a bit of a chance. And, of course, you know, politics is fraught with lots of difficulties and day-to-day challenges. I think when it became clear that there was probably a broad coalition of MPs prepared to work across the aisles, and when myself and Tim Wilson and Trent Zimmerman and Warren Entsch and Trevor Evans said that we were going to sort of step up, that we were going to step up and be counted, that I think gave great encouragement to other parliamentarians across the aisles, because going back to that earlier point, it had to be cross-party if it was to succeed. People were looking to see who are and where are those Liberals. And then, of course, you know, we were the visible Liberals, but we knew we were supported by others like Julia Banks and those sorts of things. So, but this success has many, many ingredients. And I think it's very, very hard to give a gold medal to one ingredient. I think they're all standout achievements in their own right, and nothing could have happened without the other. And you're absolutely right. Nothing could have happened over the last few weeks if people weren't advocating for it years ago. And I keep reminding myself that I was a latecomer to this, but blessed that when I was asked to step forward, I had enough sort of resilience and fortitude to push hard, you know, in that last mile. But this is a success that's owned by everyone, and many, many people over many, many years have contributed to this.
Well, we have a couple of messages of people that have sent their congratulations in, Dean. We have one message here from one of our listeners that says, I'd like to thank Dean Smith for his hard work and advocacy and his calm composure. A wonderful man, bless his heart. And then from our regular listener, Melina. It's lovely to see such conciliatory language and views in our parliament. Politics is about compromise. Well done. Also asks you the question, are you ever going to get married? She wants to know.
I think this is a really powerful demonstration of how changing the law does change people's outlook. I would have said no. I'm single. I've been single for a very long time. I would have said no, but now I think, well, why wouldn't I? Having fought so hard for it, why wouldn't I seek to enjoy it so much? I am the marrying kind. I definitely am the marrying kind. I do like homely things. I like making plans. I like setting goals. It would be lovely to share that with someone. Yeah.
I'm sure you'd be funded with offers now, Dean.
Yeah.
And if you should choose to come to Melbourne to get married, we can actually we're very close to getting assurance from Robert Doyle that he can actually marry you in his mayoral robes on the balcony of the town hall.
Oh, wow.
With all the pomp and ceremony you should wish.
Indeed.
Well, I am an Anglican, and I would probably like to find like a crazy little Anglican church somewhere with a very agreeable Anglican minister. So I might pass up the Lord Mayor's offer.
So Dean, I've got to say, I know Macca said this last week when you were on, but you have shown some real true leadership for our community. And, you know, these types of things don't happen with all the hard work and graft of many, many people. But you were at the forefront, at the coalface there, really ploughing away to make this thing happen. So again, on behalf of our community, I really want to say thank you for making this happen. I think you've delivered a very, very big Christmas present very early for a large amount
Indeed.
Of people. And you should truly be thanked for that. So thank you on behalf of the community.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Absolutely, Dean. You can get back to your recovery process now and enjoy a well-earned break.
Thank you very much for joining us, Senator Dean Smith.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.